welcome to Turn the Page, the official podcast of the Syosset Public Library.
Welcome to Syosset Library's Turn the Page podcast. My name is Jessica, and I am here today with an author who wrote a chilling book. Please introduce yourself and tell everybody about Black Tide.
My name is Casey Jones. I'm an author currently in Olympia, Washington. And Black Tide is my first to be published novel. It's a really contained horror thriller that takes place on the north coast of Oregon during the kind of opening hours of the end of the world.
So the main character, like right off the bat, you find out is like a complete and utter mess, or one of the main characters. There's actually several main characters, but Beth is who I'm talking about. She describes herself as like the human version of a car crash. Where did the story all begin for you?
I actually kind of like to tell people it's based on a true story. My wife at the time, my girlfriend, we just took a trip kind of spur of the moment to Cannon Beach, Oregon. And one night we drove north of there, just kind of the very tip of Oregon, to watch the sunset. And we parked and we walked around and the sun was going down, and I got back to the car and I could not find my keys anywhere. Pockets, we searched through the seats, we looked around the sand. They just did not exist anymore. They just dropped through the earth. We luckily had a spare set on us, unlike the characters in Black Tide. And on the way back to our hotel, it just kind of came to me. I was like, that's a story. What if we didn't find them? What if the sun went down and the tide started coming in? Especially at that time, this is the early 2000s, and that time of year, it gets very lonely on those beaches. There's just nobody out there. And it was just a really creepy thought. And I kind of had the basic pieces of the book by the time we got back to the hotel.
I also have to say that the Pacific Northwest is like a really good place to set anything horror. No offense, I love it there. It's wonderful. It's just like there's so much mood.
Oh yeah,
and it's so beautiful. And I don't know. It's just like it seems like it just lends itself very well to the genre.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's definitely a moody place. The time of year that both Black Tide is set and when this happened, just kind of early autumn. I think it's the best time of the year on the coast. You actually get nice, sunny, warm weather. Then, you know, the other 9 months, it's drizzly and cold.
So Beth is house sitting, or really more appropriately dog sitting, Jake, who is another protagonist in the story, or drives the story around, although he exists as a dog. And she meets Mike, and it's like this collision of lonely souls with a dog during an apocalypse. And it's just such, like, it's such a, I don't want to say harrowing, but just like you really feel everything that the characters all go through in trying to protect Jake, this dog. It's like almost like the purest way to introduce their peril. You know, you have them protecting a child, protecting a dog who can't even speak for himself technically is just so wow. You know, the book had been kind of like likened to Cujo in a way, but it just wasn't like, it wasn't what I was expecting, but not in a way.
Yeah, the Cujo, you know, I just thought that was kind of a fun way for the elevator pitch when I was first coming up with it. Cause we all, at least if we haven't read it, we kind of know what that story is, that just you're stuck in this one little place and the world is just out to get in there and pull you out of it.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, just like unfolding the stories of these two characters as something so just monumental is happening. So a lot of the story also, like, it relies on what's unseen, which is a really interesting way to tell this story. Were you always sort of aiming for that when you were writing?
No, the story actually went through quite a few different evolutions. It started as a screenplay, back before I even went to school and started studying that stuff. And then I didn't know how to write a 90-page, 100-page script about two people in one location just kind of talking and figuring things out. And so I shelved it for years. And then I came back and I rewrote the screenplay in 2009, and it was just completely different. Like, they were in the vehicle for just barely the first act, and then they went off on this whole odyssey up the beach, and it was a very, very different story. And then it was in 2016, 2017 that I kind of hit a low point in the whole screenwriting career thing and came back to Black Tide and went back to its roots with just two people, this dog, and this locked in this location. And that's kind of when the whole unseen part really, really started to build. So I was like, that's really what this is. It's just a slow burn. Earlier I had all the monsters show up right away and whatnot, and then as writing the book, and that's kind of the different thing between writing a book and writing a screenplay. Screenplays have to be kind of in your face with a lot of that stuff. And with the book, it really let me dance around what was happening and what was being seen, and setting it from the two first person perspectives as well. Because Mike sees stuff that Beth doesn't, and Beth perceives things that Mike's completely unaware of. And so, yeah.
I'm glad that you mentioned screenplay and that you studied it. There's like a whole study of horror related to not showing everything, and being like a film theory person myself. I was actually wondering if any of that came into play when you were writing this, but it's interesting to kind of see that it took a different form.
I do agree that typically, what you don't see is the most frightening. As soon as the big bad is revealed, is kind of that release. You're like, okay, we've got that taken care of, and now we can face it head on, and it stops being so much terror as just, the machine pushing us towards the resolution.
Right.
I don't know if I would say I pulled from any specific studies of it, but maybe I just subconsciously, I imagine.
Yeah, as a film theory person, I remember just some of the theories being like you were saying, you just you show just enough to keep the imagination going, but not enough to make it tangible. And it works really well within this book, very, very well. So just kind of again going back to it. So Jake, did you always know that they would be protecting a dog?
He was always a character, but he didn't kind of become that glue until I was writing the book. Again, as when it was the screenplay, it was just he was just kind of there, and he added like a third dimension for them to refer to and to talk about. But he didn't really come to be a character of his own until I was writing the book, and I realized that both of these people, have this need to sort of find some solid piece of their life and keep it okay and keep it safe, and that ends up not only being each other, but also Jake.
So, what are some of your favorite horror books? And have you always been a horror fan yourself?
I would say yes. One of the earliest horror, I mean, Goosebumps when I was very young was an addiction of mine. I had a lot of fears when I was a kid. I would say I was afraid of just about everything. And that was one of those, you know, it helps you kind of face it in a safe environment. And so I really enjoyed those books. And then I read The Shining when I was in seventh or eighth grade, I think. And I read it because I heard that my dad couldn't sleep after reading this book. And I was like, wow, I need to check that out. If my dad is scared by a book, I need to see what this is all about. And so that was my first Stephen King, my first probably true horror novel that I read. I became a huge Stephen King fan after that and read most of his works growing up. So if you're asking about favorites, I would say that just probably because I've been with him as an author the longest. Lately been trying to branch. I was reading screenplays for a very long time just to kind of study and keep up with trends and what's going on. And I only have recently gotten back into reading books as much as I would like to.
That's really cool. So when you read a screenplay, was it easier for you to sort of create dialogue? And also Mike has a film background as well in the book. But yeah, just getting back to what I was just saying, do you find that like when you're writing dialogue, you're kind of seeing it in screenplay form?
Yeah, I would say so. I would say dialogue is where I'm most comfortable as a writer. Part of the reason I even went the screenplay route is I didn't feel up to writing prose novels. Just the length of them and how much they rely on the writer's language to connect with the reader and pull them in. That just was something I wasn't really confident in. And with the screenplay, it's all in the background. You know, you just need it to evoke an image and get a story across, and then all the rest of it's done by 300 other people. Your words just kind of, they don't need to be quite as perfect, and it's not as intimidating.
Would you still like to see this as a screenplay then?
I think it would make a great movie. The location is contained. It wouldn't be a huge budget, although I have some experience of shooting short films on a beach, and that comes with its own complications. But no, I think it'd be a great movie. I don't think I would want to write it, though. I'm too close to it, and I would just struggle every time we needed to change something for the million different reasons that comes up. So yeah, it can be, and I think somebody else should create it.
That's very generous of you. You know, I talk to a lot of authors whose stuff has been adapted or is in the process of being adapted, and I think most people say they would like to be hands-off, even people who have been in the industry before for various reasons. And I think that, like TV has kind of become almost like the preferred medium of book adaptation.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I would absolutely agree with that. You can just spend so much more time in the story and dig into what's there when you're not constrained by 2 hours runtime. I'm a big fan of TV adaptations. I don't think that would work for Black Tide. That would drag on way too long.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, I think that this would definitely work more for almost like a Bird Box type adaptation, which also, I guess, takes place in an area where there's like wilds of nature.
Yeah, I just saw the movie a couple months ago. I really enjoyed it. That was another one of those things where we have this completely unexplained phenomenon that's terrorizing them. And I didn't need it explained. I didn't want it explained. I loved it. I thought it was great. I thought it was very suspenseful.
You know, thinking about that in general, I think the first thing that I saw like that, I suppose, was the movie version of The Birds by Alfred Hitchcock, but originally was by Daphne du Maurier, who has written some stuff. There really is something, because we do like to say that, like, you know, or like to think that we're in control of nature, but we're really not. And yeah, and I loved how just like in the beginning of Black Tide, it was like, everybody thought it was one thing. They're like, oh, it was a meteor explosion. It was this, it was that. But slowly they realize that this was beyond anything they could really understand.
Mm-hmm. I spent entirely too much time trying to figure out, to try to explain it, to be like, okay, well, this is how they got here, and this is why they're here. And I just wasted months laboring over how, what the logic behind all of it was. And then I realized, it's just a story about, it's a story about worlds colliding. It's a story about Mike and Beth colliding. It's a story about us and this other, you know, this other place. And I think that was good enough. It lets it anchor you in what's happening, but without having to be sciencey about it.
It's a story. It just struck me as a story about just loneliness also.
Yes, for sure.
And just like the human condition when you are so lonely that it, in a way, like it feels like either you're speeding towards the end of your life if you're Beth and you're, you know, thinking that you are the human version of a car crash, or Mike, who has so much else going on under the surface. And then there's Jake, who is the simplest of the simple, you know, just a sweet dog trying to survive. And it was a really just good story. It worked emotionally. It worked on a fright level. It was a good read.
Oh, well, thank you so much. I'm glad it had that.
So right now, are you planning on writing anything else?
Well, it was a 2-book deal I signed with Nightfire, and I'm dragging my feet getting the draft of the second book out to my editor. I'm really hoping to get that off to her today. I keep having to send her messages going, oh, it'll be just a little bit longer. I'm so sorry. So yeah, second book should be off to edit the first rounds of editing this week. And then I don't know. I've actually, Black Tide wasn't the first book I wrote. I wrote an urban fantasy before then. That was my first novel. And that was a lot of fun. That one I thought had series potential. Those are a bit harder to sell, but that's something I would really enjoy exploring. That's a fun world. I have kind of a stack of screenplays that never got produced. And I don't know if I would just adapt all of them, but they're at least a bunch of starting points. So I can't think of anything else I'd rather be doing.
That's great to hear. Getting back to, so you said it's a 2-book deal. Is it a continuation of the story or is it something completely different? Or can you not say?
It is completely different, although I will say the stories read kind of like siblings of each other.
Okay.
But it's not the same world. It's not the same characters. I have been asked about Black Tide sequels. At one point, I had an idea for what that might look like, and I spun it into a TV series idea that was completely not that. But if I ever developed it, I at least have a launching point.
Thank you so much. So Black Tide is out by Tor Nightfire, right?
That's right.
They're doing such good work with horror.
Oh, they are. I've been working my way through their catalog. I'm reading Echo right now by Thomas Oldhuveld.
Dying to read that one.
It is so unsettling. I'm right up towards the end of it. I just enjoyed the whole thing. Then after that, I've got just waiting on the shelf is Sundial, Sunfire, mixing things up.
Oh, by Katrina Ward, who wrote House on Needless Street. Yes.
Yep. So yeah, their whole catalog so far has just been a blast. I'm really, really honored to be part of it.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. They just sort of came out of the gates. Like, nope, we're going to 100% back horror as horror and not be shy about it. And it's been great to just watch.
Yeah, and they've got a lot of great ones in the pipeline. They keep announcing more every day on Instagram and Twitter, and it's going to be good.
All right, so everybody check out Black Tide. It was really, really good. It's scary. You might you might want your tissues ready if you are a if you are an animal lover. you might want to hug your pets tightly. But really check it out. It was a really good book. It had just so much mood, so much feeling of just fright and loneliness and the need for connection. And thank you for writing it.
Thank you so much. Thank you for reading it.
So we are, once again, this was Jessica with Syosset Libraries Turn the Page podcast, and we are going to close this chapter.
It's time to close this chapter of Turn the Page. Join us for the next episode.